Morning. Please turn your psalm books 226.
There is much to do, there's work on every hand. Hark, the cry for help comes ringing through the land. Jesus calls for reapers, I must active be. What will thou, O Master? Here am I, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, ready at thy bidding, Lord, send me. There's the plaintive cry of mourning souls distressed, and the sigh of hearts who seek but find no rest. Thee should have my love and tender sympathy. Ready at thy bidding, here am I, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, ready at thy bidding, Lord, send me. There are hungering souls who cry aloud for bread, with the bread of life they're longing to be fed. Shall they starve and famish while a feast is free? I must be more faithful, here am I, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, ready at thy bidding, Lord, send me. There are souls who linger on the brink of woe. Lord, I must not, cannot bear to let them go. Let me go and tell them, brother, turn and flee. Master, I would save them, here am I, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, ready at thy bidding, Lord, send me.
Will you please stand for prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you, thanking you for this beautiful day that we can come together, study your word, and sing these songs unto you. Lord, we ask you to be with those unable to be with us that are dealing with various health ailments, those that have upcoming test procedures, those that have recently lost loved ones. Lord, please provide comfort to them during their challenging times. God, we ask you to be with us as we prepare our minds that we are going to add this lesson from your word from Charles here today, that we're able to take away from this and apply it to our lives and become better Christians. God, please be with us and please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Today's scripture reading comes from John chapter 15, verses 4. John 15, 4, and then the Pew Bible that is on page 1513. 1513. Abide in me, and I as in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me.
Please mark your psalm books to 578, be our invitation. Please turn to 284. At this song, we'll turn over to Charles. Good to have Charles Savage with us this morning, and taking time out of his busy schedule to come and help us hear the word of God. Appreciate him. 284.
Onward rejoicing, I tread life's way. Higher I'm climbing each passing day. Hilltops of glory now rise in view. where all shall be made new.
Hill tops of glory I now can see. Oh, brother, won't you come go with me? Safe on the mountain I soon shall stand. Hill tops of glory land. Way down in Egypt, in burning sand, Moses has started for Canaan's land. Never turn backward, always ascend, on to the journey's end. Hill tops of glory I now can see. Oh, brother, won't you come go with me? Safe on the mountain I soon shall stand. Hill tops of glory land. Footsteps of Jesus before us lead. We tread life's journey, his warnings heed. Evil allurements cannot prevail. I'm on the upward trail. Hill tops of glory I now can see. Oh, brother, won't you come go with me? Safe on the mountain I soon shall stand. Hill tops of glory land.
But, as I started out to say, that when I travel out of town, sometimes you just get on the road and you just drive. It's just a drive. You're just going down the road. But out of all the places that I've been and driven to, New Lexington, the ride from Zanesville to New Lex, is just special to me. And I have no idea why. It's just so beautiful. Spring, you know, the green is coming up and it's wonderful. And during the summer, it seems so shady when I'm driving down through here. And then in the fall, you have all these wonderful colors. And I don't think people actually understand that. That sometimes you drive through and you're just, oh yeah, it's a great town, wonderful town, blah, blah, blah. And you're driving through. But for New Lexington, it's something special for me. And I have not figured out what the secret is. So I guess I have to just keep coming back till I figure out what the secret is, whatever that may be. And if you feel that way about your own hometown, good, you should. If you don't, shame on you. Go to Zanesville, eat something, whatever it is they happen to have, and then drive back and pay attention to your own road because it's so cool. I don't know why, it just is. That's my take on it. That's the reason I keep coming back because, you know, that's something that is beautiful, it's special. And sometimes when we have special all the time, we don't notice it. I was looking in a Church of Christ directory for places that are outside the United States. Just a small piece of fun fact, let you know. Did you know that the Church of Christ in the country of Wales has about this same number of people in it? About 35. So if you feel like your congregation is small and needs to grow, the people in the country of Wales probably feel the same way you do. Do not give up hope. Hope. We're going to talk about hope this morning in a roundabout way. I always go around. My students used to tell me that I had a point in class, and I would teach in class, and I would go around the barn. And they kept waiting for me to finally get to my point so they could leave class, they thought. Okay, I would take 50 minutes to find that point. Some of my students would complain because it took me too long to make the point. And then some others would say, you know, he really knows how to tell a good story. They usually weren't the same students, but that's okay. Anyway, let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, Jesus has got a couple of parables in John that he wants us to, he's talking to people. Okay, who's he talking to? Well, we find that out in John 14. If you go back just slightly to John 14, verse 25. And he says, most of us know this story fairly well. Now, great multitudes went to him. Wow. I don't know how many a great multitude is, but if it's more than a couple of hundred people, that makes me nervous. You know, if I have to talk to thousands, I'm done. That's not a good idea for me to do. I actually led singing one time in a congregation. The congregation, believe it or not, had like 1,200 people in it. I don't call that a congregation. I call that like a mass entrance, like a grand, like a rock concert or something. I don't know. But anyway, I didn't call that worship service. It's just like way too many people for me. You know, and one of my professors talked me into leading singing at church, at a congregation. It was College Church in Searcy, Arkansas, where they have Harding University. And he says, once you start leading singing, do not pay attention to the sound coming back to you. You stay on tempo, you keep going regardless of what happens. And you know, I didn't listen to him. I kept following the sound as it was coming back to me, and singing kept getting slower and slower. You got to pay attention to the directions, otherwise you're about to die, you know, and I did. The next time I led singing was in chapel, and I had 1,300 people. Yeah, 100 more. That's all I needed, right? And so I remembered the advice that my professor gave to me the second time around. Make sure you listen to me the first time. Yes, sir. And so I led singing the next time around, and it was like, okay, I got to stay on tempo. I got to stay. And I didn't even look up. I just led singing. The songbook was in front of me. And I just led and kept going and didn't pay attention. By the time the singing actually stopped, I was like 4 feet away from the podium. Oops. And, you know, I had already stopped leading singing, and they were still singing. It was just really sad. But anyway, I didn't do it again. Large crowds make me like that make me very nervous. In Norval Park, I lead for about 200. Much better deal. It works better. But anyway, Jesus has been telling stories. He's a storyteller. He's not just our Savior. He's not just the Son of God. He's not just perfect. He is the perfect storyteller. Because sometimes you want to tell a story to get the point across to your children or grandchildren, right? You know, some of you got grandchildren. Now is the perfect time to be the storyteller. Well, I remember when your dad. Ooh, that's how the story starts. Yeah, I used to tell my students a story about the time I tried to talk my dad into letting me ski off the garage because I thought it was a really great idea. Yeah. No. But anyway, so Jesus had been telling stories. Okay, and he says, and when he, in verse 22 of verse. Wrong chapter. So he gets the beginning of verse 15, or chapter 15, and he's been telling stories, and all of a sudden, he's been telling the story about tasteless salt, okay? And all of a sudden, he says, then the scripture says, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him, okay? Now, I don't know about you, but we're used to having tax collectors and sinners kind of lumped into one sum. Why? Because we don't trust tax collectors for anything. And people who are sinners are those of us who are left over. Okay, as opposed to the Sadducees and Pharisees, they're not sinners. Okay, but the tax collectors and everybody else are. I'm not sure we all believe that, but that's kind of how they viewed each other. Group A versus Group B, okay? And so you've got tax collectors and sinners. Those are the ones who are like, he's going to tell us another story. Of course he is. He's going to tell us another story. Because the first couple of stories caught your attention and made sense. Oh, yeah. He's really good. I like the way he does this. So you're going to pay attention to a teacher, a friend, a relative, who tells a really good story that has a really good point in it. Even if you don't get the point right away, you understand there's something there that you need to be honing in on. You're just not quite sure what it was about. My dad would tell me something and he'd say, son, you need to think about that for a minute. Well, usually that minute would turn into like 10 or 15 or 20 or maybe my entire life spending, son, I don't think we should do that. So I mentioned something to my nephew, who is about 10 years old, about doing something. He says, "Hey, Uncle Charles, can we ski off the garage?" And I thought, I've heard that story before somewhere. Well, Alex, I'm not sure we should do that, but let's think about it and say we did. And I thought, I turned in my dad. So anyway, he says, all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And then the Pharisees and scribes, what? Complained. They're complaining again. Again. This was their habit. Complaining, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them? How dare you eat with people who are unacceptable to society?" Okay, how dare you do that? You're supposed to be a teacher. Why would you want to sit and eat with these people? You should be sitting with us because we're holy. We're better than they are. Okay, now I don't know about you, but when was the last time that you ate, had a meal, sat down with somebody and ate with them that you know was not acceptable in your community? I'm going to talk about New Lexington for a second. Okay, I don't know a lot of you, or a lot of your community here in New Lexington. But when was the last time that you sat down with the town drunk? I don't know who the town drunk is. I have no idea. Zanesville used to have a few. Actually, knew one and met and saw him every day on my way from one of the jobs that I had. Saw him every day on the way to the bank. If I mentioned his name, you might know him, maybe. But every morning, on my way to the bank with the business money from the people who owned the business, they would trust me with their bank deposit. I'd take that deposit, walk down the sidewalk, walk across the sidewalk to the bank, and I'd say hi to this guy every morning. Some mornings he'd say, "Hi." He didn't know my name. I know he didn't. But I knew his. "How you doing?" "Okay." And some mornings, by the way, in Muskingum County, there was a podium, a public speaking podium that was out in front of the courthouse. And on occasions, a couple of mornings, I would go by and say hi to this guy, and he'd be at the podium, and he'd be banging his fist and just yelling at somebody, preaching at somebody across the street to the bank. Don't know who it was, but he was under the influence of his favorite pastime. And I'd say, "Hi, how you doing? You having a good day?" "Yeah, doing okay." You go back to preaching again to whoever it was he was yelling at. I have no idea whoever it was. To God, he's a lost sheep. To the rest of us, he's just a town drunk. When was the last time you sat down and had a meal with the town drunk? Jesus did. Prostitutes, the thieves, the liars, the cheats, the adulterers. But who's asking the question? Pharisees and Sadducees. How come he's eating with them? You don't hear the other part of the question where he says, "And not with us." That's the part you don't hear, because Jesus doesn't care. How come he's eating with them? So when was the last time you ate with your favorite, unfavorite uncle? Because he's just not your favorite person. Okay, when was the last time that you sat down and had talked about your grandchildren with their unfavorite teacher? Because they're a bad person. They're still teaching, but they're just not a very good person. Jesus did. Aren't we supposed to be like Jesus? And here's the rest of the story. He spoke this parable to them. Who's them? Well, it's not just the tax collectors and sinners. He's going to tell the story to everybody. That includes the Pharisees and the scribes, the good ones. Or are they? I always like to ask that question. We don't always know who the bad guy is in the story. "What manner of you having 100 sheep?" I don't know. Do you all know 100 people? I know way too many people. I got 418 friends on Facebook. That's what they tell me. I don't know half of them. I mean, I'll be honest, I don't. I don't know who they are. They're friends of friends. I'm not quite sure about some of my friends' friends, but we're all connected somehow, I guess. What manner of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? Have you lost somebody? Have you lost a friend? Now, I don't mean to death. I mean just lost them. Not connected anymore. Had a falling out. They've left the church. Maybe they were just never really part of the church. But you almost got them here. Almost. How many of you have lost somebody because you disagreed, had a falling out about, I don't know, an inheritance, stamp collection, you stepped on the crack in the sidewalk. Something went wrong, and you've lost track of somebody. But you have all your other friends, many of which are here. Okay, you wouldn't go out into the wilderness. You wouldn't go looking for your friends who are already here. You go looking for the one you lost. You see posters up every once in a while on sign poles. Have you seen my dog? Have you seen my cat? When was the last time you saw a poster on one of those poles that says, "Have you seen my friend? I've lost them." Yeah. On occasions we do. You know, a relative or a friend has Alzheimer's and has walked off. I had an uncle who did that. I lived in Coshocton. And they found him. Driving on the wrong side of I-77. I am not kidding you. He made the WHIZ news. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sitting there eating supper, and all of a sudden I was eating supper with my mother, who hadn't seen her brother in a number of years. And I'm watching the news, and George Hiotis comes on the news. That shows you how long ago that was, because George Hiotis is no longer on the news, I don't think. And all of a sudden I said, "Mom! Uncle Bob made the news." And she's like, "Your Uncle Bob? No. What was your Uncle Bobby doing?" I said, "Well, according to George Hiotis, he's driving on the wrong side of I-77, going the wrong direction." She goes, "Oh no, his Alzheimer's. Who let him drive?" Lots of questions. Okay, so my Uncle Bob got lost. So if, you know, Jesus is saying, if you had, wouldn't you go after that one? Because the 99 are going to be able to take care of themselves. Now, wilderness does not mean out into the woods in New Lexington. It, you know, more than likely, it's out in a field somewhere. It's out in, you know, a place where they're going to be safe. And more than likely, if you have 100 sheep, you got somebody else helping you watch them. Okay, what's really sad is we hear the story about David going out watching his sheep. His brother's going to let him out there all by himself. He won't know any different. Let him go out there and do that. Yeah. Okay, that's why he ends up being so good at killing wild animals with his slingshot. Remember that? He killed a bear. He killed something else. What was that? Bear and a lion. Goliath comes along. Hey, what's the difference between this noisy giant and this bear? What's the difference? I can take that. He doesn't hesitate. What's the difference between 99 and 100? One of them is lost. One of them is lost. If you lose somebody, when was the last time you lost your children or your grandchildren in a store and couldn't find them? You're all over that store, aren't you, trying to find them? Yeah. My mother lost me once in the grocery store. I'm pretty sure she was like, they can have you. I'm pretty sure that was the idea. But no, she went to find me. Every once in a while she'll tell me that story that she lost me in a Big Bear grocery store. So I asked her, I said, "Where did you find me?" And she goes, "In the cereal aisle. That's where you were looking, trying to figure out which, you know, was it Sugar Puffs or was it Fruit Loops, trying to tell which one I was going to try to talk her into." I was surprised she didn't find me in the popsicle section. That would have been good. But the whole idea is that Jesus says, you is the shepherd. You is the guardian of those sheep. We'll leave the 99 that are safe and look for the one. Look for that one sheep. We as a church, we here at New Lexington, do we look for the ones we've lost? Do we look for them? It takes an effort to pull back in the sheep that you've lost. Maybe there was a disagreement. Maybe they didn't understand the scriptures right, and we have to reteach them. Maybe they just simply thought we didn't care. That happens. Have you ever been to a funeral and you walked away from somebody and you didn't know what to say, so you didn't say anything, and people get upset? Now, somebody who's actually been to more than 150 funerals, I didn't deliver the service, I sang at them. If you have the grand opportunity to say something to somebody who is a member of the church, whose relatives have passed away, say something. Even if it's the wrong thing, at least say something. The last thing you want to do is walk away saying nothing. And if you ask the question, is there anything I can do? Mean it. It'll mean the world. Can you kind of come over and cut my grass? Sure, I'll come over. When do you need me? Can you wash my dishes? Sure. When do you need them washed? Can you help me do my laundry? Even if doing laundry is not your favorite thing, step up and do it. It means the world. It truly means the world, that you went out of your way to do something. How many times have we offered to do something and it never happened? Do something. Say something. Particularly if that person hasn't been to church in a long time. That one act of kindness may get you farther than you'll ever know. And it may not be the person you're helping. It may be the person who's watching. A different sheep. And they may come home instead. You never know. Acts of kindness, which sometimes we don't do enough of. Sometimes we don't know what to do, but we should do something. He says, went out into the world, left the 99, went out to the wilderness to go after the one which was lost until he actually finds the sheep. How long did it take? Jesus doesn't say. Doesn't say how long. 10 minutes, 10 hours, 10 days. Doesn't say how long. But he's out there looking for that sheep until he finds it. Okay? And when he found it, what's he do? He sets it on his shoulders, carries it around, takes it back home. I don't know about you, but I had to look this up because I was afraid I knew I was going to be wrong. I like being wrong because then I have to remember that I'm right. Do you know what sheep weigh? Baby sheep, you know, lambs, can weigh up to 80 pounds. Okay, so you are going to put an 80-pound sheep on your shoulders, and you're going to carry it home. How far is home? I don't know. I have no idea how far home is, but I got to carry around that 80-pound sheep on my shoulders all the way home. Now, if it's a ewe, they weigh a bit more. If it's a ram, they should be smart enough to know how to get home, but sometimes they don't. There's rams, they weigh a bit more. Okay, so if it's not just cute little baby lamb. It's like cute little baby lamb. It's like you lamb. Rams, they get bigger. And they get feistier, by the way. And you still gotta carry it on your shoulders. So when he gets home, what happens? Okay, when he gets home, he gets his friends and neighbors together and says, look what I found. So not only does he know, and the shepherd's probably with his sheep, his friends know that that lamb is lost or sheep is lost. And his neighbors know that that sheep is lost. Everybody knows that that sheep has been lost. So it's not like, oh, well, we can't tell anybody that somebody's lost. I don't want to tell you that my child is lost. That's embarrassing. This shepherd doesn't care. I don't care how embarrassing it is. I got to find my sheep. Period. Zip. Now, you know, if you're using your sheep for wool, this is a moneymaker. If you're using your sheep for food, this is a moneymaker. This is your livelihood. But more than likely, you become attached to your sheep. Jesus becomes attached to his sheep. He doesn't want any of us to be lost. Not a single one. And if you have become attached to somebody who is in the church, that if you brought them in to the church, you help them study, you help them get baptized. They're one of your sheep. They belong to you. And the last thing you want them to do is be lost. That's a terrible feeling, that you've lost one of your own and can't bring them back. That's awful. But Jesus wants us all to be saved. He all wants us to be part of the flock. He wants us to be his again. Because if you lose a sheep, what's liable to happen to that sheep? Well, it's liable to die of starvation. Okay, not having enough spirituality in their lives. That sheep is liable to die because evil things came and got it. Bears, lions. And remember, Satan walks around like what? A lion looking for who he can eat. He's out to get you. He's out to get you. And me. It's not just you. He's out to get me too. Will he? I don't know. I hope not. Will he get you? I hope not. I really do. That means he wins. That means we lose. We want to win. We want to stay safe. You see, but the neighbor, the shepherd finds him, takes him back home, tells all his neighbors, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Jesus will rejoice finding you coming home, your lost sheep coming home. Okay, and that's important. And I say to you, likewise, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents, okay, than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand this last part of this little story here. Okay, it's not that he does not rejoice for the 99. Okay, they're like, well, Jesus doesn't care about the 99. That's not what the scripture says. Please don't misunderstand that. I have people who misunderstand this scripture. They're like, well, if we're all safe except for the one, then Jesus doesn't really care about us. That's not what this says. It says there will be more joy in heaven. Now, it doesn't say that there won't be any joy for the 99. It just says there will be more joy for the one that's lost. Okay, so once we all get together, we'll all get the same amount of joy. It's kind of an odd piece of mathematics. But you get more because they found you. But once we're all together, we all get the same amount of joy. Isn't that cool? Equality. There you go. Really a weird way of being able to look at equality, but there we go. We get the equal amount of joy because we're all together. Okay? We celebrate because we found the one. But once we're all together, then we all get the same amount of joy from heaven. Wow. Interesting thought. But you know, if the shepherd hadn't found the one sheep, there would have been less joy. There would have been sadness. I can't imagine a sad spot in heaven. That's, for some strange reason, that doesn't work well in my head. By the way, when we all get to heaven, side note, you know some of the things we don't have to do when we get to heaven? We don't have to pray. We're there. That's cool. We don't have to have communion anymore. We're there. Okay. We don't have to give. We're there. Okay. We don't have to listen to a sermon. Okay, you can all stop about that one now. Okay, but okay, we don't have to listen to a sermon. We're already in heaven. You know the one thing we get to do? Sing. I'm in the right vocation. I'm a song leader. Okay, now I'm probably not going to get to be the one who leads singing, but there you go. I can't wait to find out who gets to lead singing in heaven. Maybe it's just all spontaneous. I don't know. But anyway, so the whole idea is, it says, there will be more joy in heaven for the one who repents, one who is found, than for the other 99. But there is joy for that 99. Okay. And what really concerns me is that sometimes, unknowingly, we are the one. We're not the 99. We are the one who needs to be found. We were already sheep to start with, but one of the sheep was lost. And we just need to refind ourselves in Jesus. We just need to refind ourselves in Jesus. Maybe you are one of the sheep that is lost, needs to be refound. Committing yourself to Jesus or recommitting yourself to Jesus, that's always a possibility. Maybe we've just mentally fallen away from Jesus. Maybe not physically, but maybe mentally we've fallen away. And if we, as the New Lexington Church, can help you in any way find your way back to the flock, physically, mentally, spiritually, any way possible, as we sing this song today, please let us know as we stand and sing.
Five, seven, eight, please.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and hope. Trust and hope.
trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Please be seated. If you will, turn to 159. We'll sing this song to prepare our minds to take the Lord's Supper. 159, please.
I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou my ransom be and quicken from the dead.
Today will come from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 31, Pew Bible at 1614. You know, as an early church met up on the first day of the week and took communion, we have also instructed to do it. So, you know, this is just a part of our worship service upon the first day of the week. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do you as oft as you eat, drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not disconcerting the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sick among you, and may sleep. For we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. You know, the Bible's teaching us here that we should judge ourselves. You know, we should be have our sins under the blood of Jesus Christ before we take of this communion. I have no right to judge you. You have no right to judge me. So we should judge ourselves to make sure we are worthy to take of this. So let's go to the Lord and give thanks for the bread. Dear God, as we come before thee, Lord, asking your blessings upon the bread, Lord, that represents your holy body and all the pain and the suffering that you went through for us, Lord, because you loved us so much, Lord God. And we just ask God for your blessings upon it, Lord. So thankful, Lord God, for what you did for us. In Jesus Christ's name, and amen. Now let's go to the Lord and give him thanks for this juice that represents Jesus' precious blood upon the cross. Dear God, we're so thankful, Lord God, for what Jesus did for us upon the cross, Lord. As we take his juice, Lord, it represents his precious blood, Lord. The blood, Lord, that forgives us of all of our sins, Lord. And the life that was given for us, Lord, so we can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. So thankful, Jesus, for what you did for us and everything that you do for us in this world. And we ask, Lord, your blessings upon it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You know, as the early church also met, they also gave into the church so that your church could prosper. So let's give God, go to God and ask the blessings upon the offering. Dear God, we're so thankful, Lord God, what you have given us down through the week, Lord. As it comes time, Lord, for us to give back, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would give back for a cheerful heart, Lord. Lord, we know we can never outgive you, Lord. And we're so thankful for everything that you've done for us this week, Lord, and all the days of our life, Lord. So thankful for Jesus and what he did for us. In Jesus Christ's name, and amen.
Good morning, church. A beautiful day we have to enjoy. God has so blessed us. This is some good news to go along with us. Chris told me her granddaughter, Kennedy Cochran, was baptized Friday night by Chad, by her dad, Chad, down in Athens. So that family has a lot to rejoice with. We have quite a few people who are sick and afflicted. Still, all this nice weather and we're still getting sick. What's wrong with this? We got to get well again. But keep all those who are sick in your prayers and thoughts. Thank you, Charles, for a good lesson this morning. We appreciate that. I'm glad you came our way. Last week we had a real good meeting with Terry Townsend. I thought the meeting went well. Terry's a good speaker and good man. Is there anyone that I don't know about who is sick, afflicted, something needs announced?
I may mention Mark Holly
up here. Oh yeah, Mark Holly not here this morning. They're away from us. Remember them. anything else? If not, we'll have a closing prayer for Jim.
Please stand. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning for sparing our lives and giving us the privilege that we've had of coming here and worshiping Thee in spirit and truth. We pray, Father, that everything that we've done would be well-pleasing in Your sight. We pray for those we know of, the many that we have that are suffering this day, that You might be with them and encourage them and help them to heal, that they might be able to meet back with us. We pray, Father, that we would remember this lesson, that we would care about those round about us, about their souls. Help us to reach out to those that we meet each day of our lives, that we might say something that would encourage them to turn towards righteousness, Your righteousness as our God. We ask You to forgive us of our sins and help us to be better servants in the future. Watch over us now as we depart from this meeting place. So thankful for Your love and Your mercy. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.